All right, good morning. All right, a little bit more people than the 7 a.m. service. Are you guys' games done already or still checking? It's okay to check your phone. All right, who are you guys rooting for today? I know Niners are playing right now. Who is that? Yep, Cowboys, right on. Yep, Cowboys game coming up at 2:20. So everyone's like, nobody said that. I don't know about you guys. I cheer for Jesus, but I weep for the Dodgers. That was such a hard game yesterday. We had 111 wins in the regular season, and then it all came down to the Padres. And God bless them. They haven't been there for 24 years. So I guess we could be happy for that. You know, I'm a Padre too, so it's okay. You know, I like the Dodgers better. All right. Well, it's a wonderful privilege to be with you, Pastor Kiha. Wonderful to see you. It's an honor to have you here. And is it Pastor Mo, yeah? Wonderful to have you also. Today, guys, we are continuing the series talking about families. And I thought Pastor Elwin did an amazing job last week talking about mixed families, stepsons and daughters and mixed marriages and how to navigate that. Because let's be honest, guys, the typical normal family is not always the case anymore, right? Families are complicated, and it's okay to have a complicated family. In fact, the lineage of Jesus was a really complicated family. Can I read you a little bit of the lineage of Jesus? Because the last thing I want to do is you come to church, I talk about families, and then you think, oh man, we have a super junk family, or we have problems. This isn't a place for me. If you have any problems in your family, any problems in your family legacy, any interesting scenarios, guess what? This is the place for you. And I'm the speaker for you because I'm trying to be better at family. And I'm not great at family either. And I got a lot of problems with my family. So you got the right speaker. This is the right day for you if your family is not perfect. Now here's the deal. If your family's perfect, guess what? You get to get up right now. You get to go watch football. Okay? All right, we're good. Okay, here we go. So Jesus' family was messy. We read in Luke 10:38 that Abraham at times was a liar and a coward, and he had a child outside of marriage. We read in Genesis 16. Isaac had a favorite child. You know, that's the one thing I know. They said, don't ever have a favorite child, right? So if you weren't the favorite child, I'm sorry. It's not biblical. You should have been the favorite child too. Jacob, liar, deceiver, he also favored one child. We know that about Joseph. Judah sold his brother into slavery. Not too good, right? And he slept with a woman, Tamar, and then whom he thought was a prostitute, but happened to be his daughter-in-law. Oh, it's like Jerry Springer, right? Let's see here. Rahab was a pagan prostitute. David was a murderer and adulterer. We talked about that at men's camp. Not to murder, not to adulter. Solomon married hundreds of women and had hundreds of mistresses, worshiped false gods, and it goes on and on and on. And this is the family and the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. So guess what? If he could have tons of pilikia, tons of problems, tons of crazy stuff in his family, and still be the Son of God, perfect in God's eyes, then guess what? Today, we stand here in confidence and a reminder that God has a plan for our family. And no matter what the issue may be, God is good and God has a plan for us in our homes and in our family. Amen? When a husband and wife have a healthy relationship, they make a decision together to be equals, looking at Christ as the ultimate head of their home. They compare their individual aptitudes and assume tasks based on what they want to do. There's no gender roles or assignment. My wife says amen. But we lead the home together as God's covering. Now, before I go into just husbands and wives, if you're a single mother or a single father, guess what? This message is for you also. Because we're talking about spiritual heads of the family, no matter what that looks like. If you're auntie, uncle, hanai to a family, whatever it is, you are the spiritual head of the family, and that's what I want to talk to you about. If we're looking at Jesus Christ as our model, this can only mean one thing. We are to be servant leaders as we lead our families. Can you say amen? Not servants, right? I see some parents walking around feeding their kids at 13 years old. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Not my kids. We're not servants. We are servant leaders. Jesus didn't come to be a servant. He came to serve. There's a big distinction there. In Matthew 20, 25 through 28, it says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be a servant. And he who desires to be first among you, let them be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but came to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." We are called as the heads of our family to be servant leaders in our homes. And why is this so important? Because we have a biblical opportunity and a mandate to become the coverings of our home. And I kind of like it like this. You guys are not superstitious, yeah? It's kind of Halloween. I get it. Don't worry. It's my bad luck, not yours. Pray the love of God over this. Okay. All right, here we go. This is kind of what a spiritual covering looks like. The Lord allows us as the covering of our homes, whether it's father, mother, uncle, auntie, any of the kapuna, grandma, grandpa, to be the covering over your family. This means that with your prayers, with your intercession, with the things that you say, the things that you allow in your home, the things that you don't allow in your home, the words that come out of your mouth, this becomes the covering that you allow your family to live under. If you're allowing that HBO kind of pretty pornographic, but it's kind of normal now. Oh, hey, we're letting off the covering of our home. If we're letting words and people or things to come in our home, we start to let that umbrella and that covering come after our home. It's our job as spiritually healthy families to bring a protection and to bring a grace and to bring an environment of our families that's whole and well and a part of the goodness of God. Amen? But sometimes in our lives, we forget that we're holding this umbrella. Now, wives, it's not for you to defer to the husband and husbands to defer to the wife. My wife is an excellent covering for our home. She reminds me, whoa, put the umbrella on. Be careful. We do that together. It's nobody's specific role, but it's our role, if you're a part of a family, to keep this covering above your family's life. Can you say amen to that? But as Christian as we are, and as good as we are, and as much as we love the Lord, sometimes we forget to provide that covering. The truth is we get really, really busy. We think that, hey, we come to church, hey, we say the night prayers of the kids, or hey, we call our kids and check in with them, but sometimes we miss, I think, the most amazing opportunity to be that spiritual head. And I want to talk to you about someone that's kind of like us. Her name is Martha in the Bible. And Martha, I feel like, is just an amazing person of God. Loved the Lord with all her heart, mind, and soul. And she kind of got into a situation that I think we get into as parents and as leaders of our home. I'm going to open up to Luke 10. If you have a Bible, our ushers have Bibles, or you can use your digital device. I'm going to use the New Living Translation. We're going to do Luke 10 through 38, or 38 through 54. And I want to read the story of Martha, because I think it's going to relate to us today. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in to her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her, come help me." But the Lord said to her, "Dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all the details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." The Lord said, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all the details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. I think that as families, as husbands and wives, and as us, as brothers, sisters, uncles, and aunties, sometimes we get into the situation of busyness and details and the chaos of life. And sometimes, even though that Jesus is in proximity of us, and we have access to Jesus, we become in proximity, but we don't come into intimacy. Does that make sense? Martha was a great person. She was actually the one that went out on the street and gathered Jesus in and pulled Jesus into the house to serve him and to love him and to cook for him. But Martha was busy with the details. I know as a father, I get busy with the details. I come home and I'm like, we got to clean that. We got to clean this. The dog's got to go out. Have you done your chores? Like, I get busy. I become in proximity with my family, but I don't get into the intimacy with my family that God's called me to. I miss the opportunities of prayer. I miss opportunities of laying hands on my kids when they have a hard time. See, if I'm the spiritual head of my home and I'm not doing these spiritual things, I'm missing out on what God has for me and my family. If I'm not providing intercession, if I'm not providing prayer, if I'm not providing covering, guess what? They're not getting it somewhere else. You can get into proximity with Jesus and not intimacy with Jesus. We can miss that moment right there. John Ortberg wrote a book called God is Closer Than You Think. And in this book, God is Closer Than You Think, John talks about spiritual habituation is more dangerous than spiritual depravity because it's so subtle. You're like, what the heck is he talking about? Okay, let me break down spiritual habituation because I had never heard of this before. The word habituation was coined by psychologists who dealt with the study of perception. The idea is that when an object or element is introduced into a room, you instantly become intensely aware of it and are drawn to it. But after time, it quickly fades away and becomes unimportant, and it begins to blend in. My greatest example is I never used to wear watches before, and then I put on a watch and I would hit it on everything. And I always feel, oh, I got a watch on. I could always feel the watch. But after a couple months wearing a watch, I didn't even realize it was on anymore. I didn't even notice the watch. I became habituated to the watch. Maybe for you, somebody in your family brings in a super ugly decoration, puts it in the middle of the house. You're like, that thing is so ugly. But then, after a while, you come home, you see him, whatever's, and you don't realize it's so ugly until someone comes over and says, oh, what is that thing in your house? That thing is so ugly, right? Nobody would say that. But we become habituated to things in our life, right? So John Ortberg says this, spiritual habituation, right? Getting used to Jesus, getting used to, kind of like Martha did. Jesus came in the house. She's used to him. She's just going to cook food, is more dangerous than spiritual depravity. What is spiritual depravity? Well, it could mean deep sexual sin, going off on that way, or just let's just say it's sin in general. It's removal from God. I'm more concerned about us in this church, in this congregation, me, you, is that we become so used to God and he no longer catches the stimulus of our minds and our hearts, and we forget to be that leader of our home, spiritually leading and discipling our family, then you going off and doing something crazy like stealing cars. You know, 11 o'clock service, probably, you know, not you guys. It's 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, kind of sleep halfway, you know. They're all tired, but they can go lunch now. But 11 o'clock, guarantee they're doing some bad things. But you guys, 9 o'clock. I'm more worried about you guys getting used to Jesus being the fabric of your life and him no longer catching your attention because we've become habituated to the move of God and the opportunity to be spiritual coverings in our home. Does that make sense? It's not this, oh man, I just hope I don't sin. I hope I don't sin. Hope I don't do drugs. Hope I don't do chew and don't hang out with those that do, right? That's like the old 60s saying. No, it's that Jesus no longer catches the stimulus of our life. And that's something I feel so deeply that as fathers and mothers, aunties and uncles, as people of God, we forget who we are in Christ. Well, let me talk to you guys about being kids. All of us are kids. No one's excluded. Do we have a spiritual role in our families? Yes. To pray for our parents, to pray for the kupuna in our lives, to stand in authority, to meet gaps, to serve and to love. Husbands, to wash your wives with the word of God, to pray over them every day. Scripture, washing them is what the Bible says, washing them with the word of God. I don't wash my wife with the word of God every night. I'm not a perfect example of this, but we pray. And when she's having a hard time, we pray and we go to the Lord. When our kids have problems, we pray and we ask the Lord to come in. When our kids come home and they're going through a hard time, we seek to understand and to love them. But hey, you know what? Sometimes we get habituated and my son comes home and he has a problem. Like, hey, just deal with it. You know? Oh, don't say you had an okay day. Say you have a good day and go away. Sometimes we can be gruff. Sometimes we forget that we're the only person in our lives and in their lives to be this person. Amen? I want to talk to you about some of the qualities as we come into this place of covering and as we come into this place of spiritual healthy families, some of the things that we should be providing and we should be doing. We must have a strong connection with our Heavenly Father first and foremost. Martha started to forget that. We need to be like Mary and sit at his feet. We need to find his happiness in our lives first and foremost. I think I've been so guilty of this. If God is not the thing that makes you happy, your family's not going to be happy. Do you understand that? If drugs and alcohol make you happy, you're going to seek drugs and alcohol over family. If a car infatuation, if a hobby infatuation, if a football infatuation, whatever your infatuation in life is, whatever is the most important thing to you, if that's the thing that's going to make you happy, that's the thing that's going to keep keeping you happy over and over and over again. Christ has to be the thing that makes you happy. He has to be the thing that is the prime and the stimulus of your life. Because if it's not the stimulus of your life, you'll always go find something else to make you happy. And you'll never be able to bring that joy to your family. We have to realize that we can only lead effectively if we maintain that relationship with the Lord. Some of us need to get out of the kitchens of our life, like Mary, in the scramble of always doing, always performing. My mother, I know this is the 9 o'clock, so it's going to be on the website. So I love you, Mom. But my mom's a perfectionist. You know, like if you do Enneagram, whatever, it's like literally they call him the perfectionist. My childhood memories smell like Windex. I smell Windex, I think of my mom. My mom was always cleaning, always doing this, always like whatever. I'm not Greek, but she was always doing everything. She was a perfectionist all the time. And that's what I remember. And like Martha, she was a perfectionist. She was always doing. Sometimes we got to stop. It's like, Jesus, where are you in this moment with my kids? Jesus, where are you in this moment with my husband? Where are you in the moment with my grandkids? What would you have me say? Not human wisdom, but wisdom from the Holy Spirit that I would discern, that I would see, and that you'd give me revelation for my family. Because I want to be the spiritual head of my family. I want to be the spiritual head in my marriage. I want to be the spiritual head for generations of my family. And if not me, then who? And I beg the question to us today, if it's not us, then who would it be? Don't defer. Build an army of spiritual leaders around your family. The second thing is that we must be balanced in our commitments and nurturing in the concerns of the mental and emotional needs in each family member. Man, I want the tough track. I'm still struggling with the tough track. My son, I'm so rough on him. He has a hard time. Hey, suck it up. You know, just go play. Go have fun. You know, just work more. But as fathers and as mothers, we have to be attuned to the spiritual and mental state of the people around us. We can't just say, oh, I'm just old school. What's old school mean? I don't care is what it means. Oh, I just always did this. My dad did this to me. My mom did this to me. Hey, guess what? We're not going with mom and dad what they did before, because this umbrella was full of holes. We all have wounds from what came from this umbrella when we said, hey, this is how they always did it. And you had stuff falling on you all the time, right? We got to mend this thing right here. I got to be spiritually and emotionally covering of my family. I'm not just going to say, hey, it is how it is. Suck it up. I don't have to explain this to you. Just shut up and do it. We got to mend this, because God's asking us to be better spiritually and emotionally covered for our kids. Hey, and guess what? This generation is sensitive. Holy moly. They got more feelings than I ever had in my life. It's all those participation trophies. Amen, right? So if we don't start getting spiritually and mentally attuned to the kids that we have, the people around us, then guess what? We're missing something that is the Father's heart towards others. The third thing is this, is that we must be proactive in spotting potential challenges to the welfare of our families and our children, and come up with working solutions for the problems that they have. Sometimes as parents, we just want to say, hey, just figure them out. We have to start to reinvest in the time, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, to say, hey, I'm going to work through this problem with you. I'm going to sit down with you. My wife is so good at this. She sits down with them and she works it out. Tell me about each friend. Tell me about each personality. Tell me what you said. Tell me what they said. Okay, let's figure this out. I'm more of the like, go figure it out. She's like, let's figure it out. Okay, we got to be the let's figure it out people. We got to be spiritually sound people and coverings of our family, that we take the time to sit. We take the time to work through it. Now you're looking at me and you're going, man, this would be great if I was like, just had a baby. Well, my kids are like 18, 19. My kids are 40. My kids are older than you. It's never too late to be the spiritual covering of your home. It's never too late. If you're single today, you get a little bit smaller umbrella, but you got an umbrella. And right now you're in preparation. What am I going to allow to come into my life right now? Because what I allow in my life right now is going to allow into my marriage. And what's okay for my marriage is going to be what's okay for my kids. And if I'm letting junk in right now to my singleness, it's going to flow over into my marriage. You know, I'm just shocked when I came back home that the culture of strip clubs is like pervasive here. Like, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And young single men going to strip clubs, I'm like, hey, you let this in right now, this is not going to stop when you go to your marriage. This isn't going to stop when you have kids. If you're letting sin in now, if you're watching those things now, it's going to be pervasive. Husbands, if you're watching and you're entertaining these things in your life right now, they're getting into your marriage. I promise you they're getting into your marriage. Because this, if you're not protecting, it's coming in. It's coming in, and you got to hold the spiritual authority. Wives, if you're doing things that are compromising the integrity of the Lord in your family, it's getting on your husband. It's getting on your kids. We must be people that are characterized by integrity, seeking to be the safest, wisest, and most respected people under God. Seeking to be the wisest, smartest people under God for our families. God is calling us to raise the standard and to be those spiritually healthy families. Men over your wife, be praying for the protection of her joy. I pray over that over my wife, because she works so hard. I pray that the Lord would keep her joy and protect her joy in every part of her life. Pray that your family would be protected against spiritual attack. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we got to raise up a standard in our prayer lives. If sickness comes in our family and you're the covering of family, you don't just like lay down. You start to pray. You start to discern what doctor to go to. You start seeking the Lord for a resolution in your family. We don't lay down, we stand up. if we have a culture of passivity that we just kind of let happen, whatever goes, then I'll tell you what, God's not like that. When God sees you, he fights for you. And he's calling us to fight for our families and fight for our children. And in everything, we have to build each other with love. You know, I've been married, we're on our 17th year this year. It's been the best year of my wife's life. So, see, 11 or 9 o'clock is good because you guys are awake. Parents, we gotta focus on love. And the love is the antithesis of natural selfishness that we all have. I love to come home, go in the bedroom, turn the AC on 69, get in my board shorts and watch sports or the news or something, because it's been a long day. I gotta turn off the AC, I gotta go into the living room and watch sports out there. No, I gotta go. Hey, that's okay too. At least you're with the family. I gotta force myself out of the room. I gotta force myself to interact. I gotta force myself to ask my wife how her day was, even though my day could have been junk. We gotta show respect to each other. Parents, we gotta respect our kids. Nothing hurts a child more than being treated as if they're useless. And almost nothing encourages them more than showing them respect and value. We got to have intentionality with each other. Being intentional means talking to them about living out our values and priorities and allowing others to influence in our, be careful of the influences that come into our home. This trait nurtures and consistently in family life that reinforces other traits. When parents are intentional, they grow in wisdom. They're able to keep their focus and how they act and believe as parents. It's easy to be passive and let social media and TV and other parents guide our families. It's easy to, you know, hey, just watch the Chosen series and you'll be godly. Just read your Bible up, you'll be good. We have to be intentional with the things that we bring in our family. And we have to be intentional of the things that we keep out of our family. Does that make sense? Kids don't learn by osmosis. They learn by us guiding them and loving them and nurturing them. And finally, we need to learn boundaries and limits. A great book by Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend called Boundaries. I really encourage it, guys. For media, behavior, relationships, godly living, vibrant faith, it means we can't let the culture determine what's healthy for our family. Proverbs tells us this, leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. It's Proverbs 14:7. If we don't set our own boundaries in our families, other influences like culture, extended family, and trends will set our children's moral boundaries. And we may be surprised and dismayed by what we find. In closing, and the worship team is going to come up. This isn't a scolding today, because if you knew me like I knew me, you would not be listening to me. Okay? But if I knew you like you knew you, I wouldn't be talking to you. So we're good. We're good. Okay? We all struggle and need the grace of God to be spiritually healthy families. And we have to fight that passivity. We have to fight to get back into the presence of God. God, would you speak to me about my marriage? God, would you speak to me about my parenting? God, would you speak to me about being a good uncle? God, would you speak to me about being a good auntie? God, would you speak to me about being Hanai to the kids that naturally come into my home? God, let me be Hanai to the kids at Palama. Wherever you call me to be, Lord, let me be that person. In 1511, Michelangelo did a beautiful painting in the Sistine Chapel. And I think this picture says so much, because I look at God in this picture, and the wind is catching his hair and catching his beard. That's why I have a beard. It's godly, just so you know. Pray for Pastor Brandon. Cannot. And he's reaching out and he's lunging for Adam. And he seeks so intensely to connect with us, to love us, and to be with us. And then you see Adam, probably just pounding his grapes. And he knows that a flick of a wrist, he can touch God. He has such a passivity about him that he just kind of like lackadaisical, yeah? Like, hey, God, I'll reach out if my kids get a problem, real problem. I'll reach out if someone get cancer. But he's not thrusting for the Lord. And God comes to us today in his fierceness and his majesty and his goodness and says, hey, I want to help that problem in your home. I want to help that financial situation. I want to help that spiritual issue. I want to heal you from failures. I want to heal you from the past. I'm lunging after you today because I want to move in you and through you for your family. Would you respond to me? And as people of God, I don't want to be the Adam that just kind of cruises eating grapes. I want to lunge out to God and say, God, heal my family. Renew my marriage, renew my kids, renew my opportunities. Lord, let me be the person of God that you've called me to be. Amen. Man, I challenge you today, if you're married or you're engaged, to go home and choose a scripture and read it over your wife. And hey, it's going to be hard and goofy. I get it. You guys are both going to laugh. Your wife's going to be like, oh, for real, really? How was the tequila last night? You know, like, are you really going to do this? Hey, but you know what? The time is now, right? You may say, hey, my kids are gone. They don't talk to me anymore. Guess what? Start praying again for them today. Ask the Lord for a point of reconciliation. Ask the Lord for a point of coming back and rejuvenation, a time that God could come back into that relationship, come back into that marriage and start speaking life, come back into that relationship with your kids and speaking life, come back into that relationship with relatives and speak life. God is the God of life and rejuvenation and restoration. I'm challenging every one of us to be that matriarch, that patriarch, that whoever that is the covenant of the family, to re-engage with the goodness of God. I commit as a Martha. I'm a part of the Martha Club. I like working. I like going. I choose to sit at the feet of Jesus today. Would you join me in that? Lord God, I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for Metro, Lord. I thank you, Lord, Lord, we don't come in shame and condemnation, but Lord, we receive the grace invitation, Lord, to sit at your feet. The grace invitation, Lord God, that says, Lord, yes and amen to your plans, your callings for my life and the life of my family. We break all shame and regret right now in Jesus' name. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Nor life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, not of this world, separates us from the love of God. We know that we stand forgiven, Lord. We call upon the name of the Lord, and we are forgiven. So, Lord God, with the full confidence, Lord, of your grace and favor on our lives, Lord, we say yes, Father, to sitting at your feet. We say yes, Father, to taking up our mantle. We say yes, Lord, to do your plans and purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and
of the goodness of God.
So it's really cool today. I feel like, one, the Lord's going to give you a new umbrella, okay? And my umbrella's pretty junk. I've let plenty of things come through. But the Lord gives you a new umbrella today, right? Because His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The other thing I want to talk about as we go into tithes and offerings is there's been a lot of word about the economy and the recession and what's going to happen. And we've been through this before, guys. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, I'm still alive. As people of God, when it rains, when the enemy comes in like flood, guess what God does? Hey, He's our covering. Okay? We cover what we can cover, right, as spiritually healthy families. But over us is God. And God is watching over us. Right now, as you get ready for tithes and offerings, you can scan the QR code or there's boxes in the back when you leave. I want to pray just a protection over your finances and over your family. I know it's hard to be a good husband, wife, or anybody when finances are tough. It's easy when things are going good, yeah? It's hard when things are going bad. So I just want to pray a covering over you financially, over your families. And for some of you men right now, I just feel so strongly in my heart, God's kind of inviting you. He's like, hey, grab your umbrella before you leave. Because some of us gave the umbrella, men, we gave the umbrella to our wives. And that's okay. Wives are a wonderful spiritual covering. But guess what? It's a two-hand umbrella. You need to start holding that umbrella with your spouses again. And don't say you're too busy or you work too much. Because you need to hold this umbrella with your wife. Single moms, I just pray just a power and anointing over you to have super, super strength with this umbrella today. And some of you older folks, some of the kapuna in here, I just saw so many teary eyes today. And for you, I just want to say the Lord sees you and he says, hey, it's not too late. I'm not done working. The Lord is going to start to minister on your behalf for your family's extended family because God has a plan and purpose for you. So, Lord God, we thank you today, Lord, for your goodness. I just pray a protection, Lord. Lord, I pray that would you make us economy proof, Lord. Would you provide your people with jobs, income enough, Lord God, provision enough, Father. Would you protect us with your covering, your umbrella, Father God, that supersedes all umbrellas, Lord. That you would cover us in your grace and your mercies, Lord. Restore, restore, restore where the enemy has come in. Heal, Lord God, and heal, heal, Father God, where there's been brokenness, Lord. Heal your people, I pray, God. And now, Lord, we take up our umbrellas, Lord. We take up our mantle, Lord, to cover our families.